mean, we know, I know it's very big in
Indian country.
Right. I'm curious what.
It's a combination, as far of our work in the department. It's a combination of lifestyle factors, of socioeconomic factors, of perhaps a predisposition, but that's not a driver in terms of the high rates of diabetes. But it's epidemic across globally, and just even more so in terms of minority populations. That's, I know, very broad answer.
Yeah. I attended the thing that Uncle Kennedy was there, the first thing that Michelle did, and thank you very much for that. It was Train the Trainer. Unfortunately, I couldn't make the second thing. But I do, my concern is, because I know this is, I heard the word behavior modification, and even in my own family, we have a lot of borderline, diabetes, and yet the urgency is not there. And I don't know if it's a lack of education or a lack of knowledge or the threat is not there yet, but it's alarming to me because I live with relatives that they're borderline, and yet their eating habit, it hasn't changed. And so as a follow-up to your Diabetes 101, what can we do to... As Uncle Kaidi said, the only people from the communities, but they are not the ones who can lead the advocacy to the communities. And maybe that's another follow-up session. I don't know. Definitely sustain the program.
And it is, it's just this partnership, it's this handshake where we have with organizations like Keola Mamo, which really does the service delivery and makes that continuum care happen, and it really feels like every step of that way, and maybe even before that, in the community, in that house, that information needs to be transferred. Donna, do you want to say anything about that, that spectrum of that process of trying to educate whole families and whole communities about diabetes?
I think I'll ask Angie Margaret, who handles the community health outreach, for her to respond to that.
We're just passing it off.
You know, you can teach the curriculum to the outreach, but you can empower the people. And by going to the community and sharing that information, it becomes a kind of empowerment for the individuals themselves. And it would be good if the community themselves take hold of that information, activate it, and it has to be something that takes in the whole family. We found that working with the family unit brings them together, but then they can cook the same kind of food. So it's empowering what we as outreach workers have to those that we serve in hopes that they can serve each other.
And we know more experts than me in public health that message that has to be delivered like at least 5 times in 5 different ways for it to be received. So the more times we educate people in the community and all the way up the health and medical chain to be able to communicate that message and communicate it in a way that they can hear it in the language, in the stories, in the behavior patterns that they understand and can incorporate, the more likely that we are going to get some kind of change. And to Betty.
I am a diabetic. I think I was not ready to be a diabetic, but this is because it meant a lot of trouble. You know, I knew that. But the definition, I think, was difficult for me because my doctor kept saying borderline. That meant to me, like, I had time to do whatever I did. I think that's a mistake. I think he should have said, you're going to die soon. You know, so but it is a matter of understanding what. But in spite of all of that, I don't feel that I'm really in poor health because I believe I'm well. I believe in wellness, and that means body and spirit. And so I think the definition of quick telling us that you're borderline, that's the thing.
Thank you very much, Aunt Betty. Just Auntie Honey.
I partner with Auntie Betty, and I thank you for I do not have diabetes. However, my husband is half German, one-fourth Scotch, one-fourth English. He's 87 today, but at age 80, with no history of diabetes in the family, he has the mild diabetes. But he takes very good care of himself, follows, you know, takes his, he's very diligent about it, and so disease has no boundaries. You know, I would say, my, by the time you're 80, you should be, you know, disease-free, but but I want to talk about the Hawaiian family that I know, two part Hawaiians and many of the Pacific Islanders. Their genealogy, or mo'okua'ahau, is so important. Where did you come from? Your ancestors. So this one family is, while it's not typical, besides knowing who your generations preceded you, not only the date of birth and death, they are putting what that person died of, which is healthy information so that the generations from now forward can be aware that, there is diabetes or heart or cancer that runs my great-grandfather or whatever. And I think that that's one family's initiative of try to do something to make their large families aware of it. And, you know, when you have a Hawaiian family, you can easily be in the hundreds. So I thought that was very, very positive for them to do that. Mahalo.
Okay. Hi everyone, I'm Andrea. I work at Kilomamo and I'm the research assistant there. And my presentation is on the cancer needs assessment that we did in the Waimanalo Hawaiian Homes community. So I just wanted to recognize Donna, who's also a co-author on this. Okay. So this is my disclosures. I have nothing to disclose. And then the objectives are to describe the CBPR process that we use to conduct our research, describe the assessment that we conducted, so our methods, and then present some of our findings from the study. So this is a picture of the service areas that Keaulumamo has. So if you look on the map, the purple area is where we did our assessment. So that's the Waimanalo Ko'olaupoko area. And then there's two pictures. This is actually at the health fair that we did after we did the assessment, and it's some of the health education. So the top picture is the health education portion, and then the bottom picture is the screening that we offered. Okay, so this was a pilot project funded by NCI and coming out of Imihale. And the purpose was to survey residents of the Waimanalo Hawaiian Homes community to identify some of the barriers and facilitators for cancer screening, and then to assess what kinds of interventions we could bring into the community that would help them. And some background, Native Hawaiians tend to be diagnosed with later stage cancers than other ethnic groups in the state of Hawaii, and they also tend to have higher mortality rates. So we decided cancer was an important area for us to look at. So we used the CVPR process to do our research, and this is, there's logos of all of the partners that we had. So the first one was the Waimanalo Hawaiian Homes Association. So they represent the homestead community. And then we also partnered with the John A. Burns School of Medicine at the University of Hawaii at Manoa, and they provided first-year medical students who helped us with the data collection process. And then, of course, Imi Hale, who helped us with technical assistance, designing our project, and later analyzing all the data. And so all of the partners were involved throughout the process. Everyone helped with the survey tool and helped validate it. And then the Waimea Hawaiian Homes Association provided us with space to, you know, conduct our meetings where we gathered before we went out. And they also provided community members to help us with the data collection. So we tried to do data collection in teams of two with a community member and then either a volunteer or a student researcher to come along with us. So that's where the School of Medicine came in. The first year med students came and did data collection. And then Imi Hale also provided some summer volunteers to help with the project. So the methods that we use, we used a hybrid traditional Native Hawaiian information gathering protocol and the standard random sampling methods. So one of the kupuna or elders gave us a traditional Native Hawaiian information gathering protocol, which was to keep the mountains on your right while collecting information and then keep the ocean on your left and make right-hand turns. So there was this whole protocol. And then with the random sampling, we had to go to every other house. So we did a pre-selection of all the homes before we went out because we decided it'd be way too difficult to just send people out and be like, okay, here, go collect information. So we used the tax map keys, and we kind of broke the homestead area down into sections. So according to the Homestead Association, there's about 644 homes in the Waimanalo area. And then according to the tax map key, there's 689. So we used the tax map key just so we could get a visual. So we broke it down, and if you can see on the right of the screen, there's a picture of what the tax map key looks like. So all the homes got a number, and then the mountains, Waimanalo is actually surrounded on three sides by mountains, which made it a little bit more challenging to follow the protocol, but we managed okay. And then the pre-selection map is what we would hand out to the data collectors. So all of the homes got an ID number, and then they got the street address, and then there was a section for comments after they had visited the homes, and we listed the homes in the order that they needed to be visited according to the protocol. So that's kind of how we did that section. And then the data collectors were also given lots of training on how to ask the questions because it was a fairly long survey. It took on average maybe like 20 to 30 minutes to complete, which actually ended up being anywhere from 10 minutes to 1 hour to complete when we went into the community. So what would happen is the data collectors would get, you know, see the survey, we'd go through it with them, and then we'd go out into the community, they'd observe an experienced data collector do the survey for a couple of houses, and then they would give the survey under supervision, and, you know, we'd give them feedback just to standardize the tool. So these are some sample questions. So the top one is some of our cancer knowledge questions, and then the bottom is some of the lifestyle questions that we asked. So the questions came from the Burfest and then from our own Keolamamo intake. And then after we collected all the data and analyzed it, we had a focus group to validate the findings and then disseminate the information to our community. So that's the invitation to our focus group. Okay, so some of the findings, this is just a quick overall. So most of our population had health insurance. They went to the doctor regularly. A lot of people exercised. People tended to quit smoking as they aged. The cancer knowledge was generally pretty good, and their attitudes towards cancer were good. And then their screening behaviors, most of them were up to date with their screening. So some of the negatives that we had was the survey participation rate was low. Male participation especially was low. Most of our community did not have dental insurance and did not visit the dentist regularly. The intake of fruits and vegetables was also quite low, and cigarette use was very high, especially among our younger participants. So this is our response rate. So we calculated response in a couple of different ways just to give a better picture. So if you look at the first one is the completion response. So we accessed a total of 449 homes, and 187 completed assessments. So if you look at the first completion response rate, that was removing all of the ineligible homes. So that's why it's 449 minus 190 minus 9. So a number of the homes either were vacant lots or houses were under construction, or we were told by our community members that those were not homes that we wanted to visit. So those all got kind of taken out. And then our completion rate was about 75%. And then the participation rate is just the overall. So of every house that we access, it was about 42%, which is lower. And on average, it took us about 7.5 visits before we got a completed assessment. So we visited homes up to 5 times before they were taken off of our list. So that's kind of a graph. Okay, so the demographics. As you can tell, we got a lot more females than males, and we got a lot more of the older population, so the over 50. We actually chose the two age groups because those are the ones that cancer affects more. We didn't really want to survey children, so there's the 25 to 49 and then the 50 and above. And we were thinking, at a lot of the homes that we visited, the men would defer to their wives because traditionally women are more in charge of the health. So it was very difficult to get them to participate. And then our data collection times also could have affected it. We tried to do, we did a morning session, so 10 to noon, and then we also did an evening session to try and get the younger crowd, and that was from 4 to 6. But it was still really difficult to get people. Okay, so some of the demographics. Most of the population under 50 was employed, and then most of the over 50 crowd was retired. And then we used the extra, so we asked the question, can you afford paying an extra $100 a month for healthcare costs as a proxy for income? So as you can see, most people couldn't afford paying an extra $100 a month for healthcare costs, but most people did have health insurance, which was a positive. And then there's also a graph of the education levels. So most people were high school graduates, and especially for the younger group, that there was an increase in the level of education. So we asked people to self-rate their health status, and then we asked them about their insurance and what they did if they regularly saw the doctor. So most of the people thought they were in pretty good health, and the majority of them saw a doctor, went to a clinic when they were sick. So we did ask people if they used traditional medicines or if they use alternative therapies, but the majority didn't. The majority went to a doctor. Most had medical insurance and saw the doctor regularly, so regularly was within the past year. They did annual checkups. And then the majority didn't have dental checkups. One of the reasons was not having insurance, but another was just fear of the dentist, because we did ask people, why don't you go to checkup? And mostly they just don't like the dentist. So we also asked, as part of our screening questions, whether or not people had had cancer before. So as you can see, this is all of the cancer cases that we were told about. And then on the bottom chart shows the most common cancers for Native Hawaiians by sex, according to the American Cancer Society put out the booklet. So ours pretty much follows the states. Okay, so this is about the lifestyle and behaviors. So on average, our people ate about 2 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. So this is across all of the gender and age categories. And we had very few people who chewed tobacco. The exercise rates were fairly high. As you can see, they're about 75 to 80%, but the exercise included any exercise done in the past 30 days, and we also allowed them to kind of self-decide if they'd exercise. So a lot of people, like for the women especially taking care of the kids, they would count that as exercise because they would say, you know, we're running around everywhere. the tobacco use was kind of discouraging for us, because as you can see, for the younger males, about 50% of them were current tobacco users, which is very high, even for Native Hawaiians. So in the state of Hawaii, Native Hawaiians that are at about 22 to 28% current tobacco users, which is higher than the general population. But encouragingly, most people as they age tended to quit smoking. So if you look at the former smokers, it really went up in the older categories. Okay, so this is the cancer knowledge. So we would ask people if they had a family history, if they should get screened earlier, or you know, do you think it's good to get screening at a younger age if you have a family member who had cancer, or do you think cancer is more curable if it's caught early? So overall, people tended to do fairly well. So this is over all of the age and gender categories, and you know, it's pretty high. Most of them knew the answers to the questions. So we asked a number of attitude questions to determine what they thought about cancer. So I just highlighted a few of them. So most people did think that cancer was a problem for Native Hawaiians, and they would want to know if they had cancer. Most of them said that they would screen with more education. So if they knew more about the cancer screening process, they would be more likely to get screening. The cost of treatment and experiences with healthcare providers was not a barrier to getting cancer screening, which was encouraging. And then these are some of the screening behaviors. So we did the screening behaviors according to the U.S. Preventative Task Force guidelines. And with those, about 70-ish% of the males over 50 were current with their prostate cancer screening. 95% of the women had a pap smear at some point in their life. So they weren't, the guidelines for the pap test are a little bit more vague, so it was a little harder to determine if they were current with that. For the mammogram, we took out the women who were between the ages of 40 and 49 because they were grouped into our 25 to 49 category. And of those, only 52% had a mammogram in the past 2 years. But for those over 50, 76% had a mammogram in the past 2 years. And then for the colorectal screening, 66% of the males were current with their screening and 63% of the females were current with their screening. But again, the U.S. Preventative Task Force, it has pretty flexible guidelines for the screening. So even with colorectal, it's if you had a colonoscopy in the last 10 years or an FOBT test at some point, then you're pretty much considered current with your screening. So these are some of the possible interventions that we came up with. So the bar graph is the findings from the survey, and we also asked our focus group participants for interventions that they'd like to see or any ideas that they had. So Ohana Day was very popular, and Ohana Day is kind of like a health fair with screening and entertainment and games and more of a family event. The cancer education was actually where we would go in and give like cancer education lectures, and people weren't as interested in that. Free screening was very popular. Our respondents are always said that anything free was welcome. Health fairs were pretty popular. Smoking cessation was not really popular, but about 2/3 of the current smokers said they would be interested in smoking cessation. And then exercise was popular, even though a lot of our people already get exercise. So from the focus group, again, the free screening, very popular. And then they also mentioned a place to check vitals, so weight and blood pressure, so having access to a place where they could do that. Smoking cessation, they were interested in classes and individual counseling, support groups, and access to nicotine replacement therapies. So in Hawaii, we have the Hawaii Tobacco Quit Line, but it only provides counseling to people who are uninsured. And a lot of our population is underinsured or they have itinerant insurance. So sometimes they're insured, sometimes they're not insured. So it just kind of depends when the quit line calls them or when they call the quit line. And then we found that it's really difficult to get NRTs from health insurance companies. And then stress management was a big thing for them, they said, especially for the younger people with families, it's really hard to just manage everything that's going on in their lives. And exercise classes. So we do have an exercise program out there, but it's not directly in the homestead. So they want something that's in the homestead, very close to them. And then they even would like it if we could coordinate a walking or do a community calendar for them. And nutrition education, because a lot of them said they don't know what to eat or what's good to eat. So food demonstrations, nutrition classes, and they suggested Taste of Waimanalo. So we have a Taste of Honolulu where all the restaurants come out and you can try different foods. So they want a Taste of Waimanalo. So in response to the community, we've done a few things. So we had a health fair that we provided health screening and education at, and it was kind of an Ohana Day event. We had entertainment and we had all the different healthcare services in their community come out. So we're hoping to make this an annual event and come back next year. We're also doing health education classes. So it's on exercise and nutrition, and we include food demonstrations. So our registered dietitian will be coming in to do some food demonstrations, and then exercise, we have 15 minutes of exercise every time they come to class. And for that, we've actually partnered with the Waimanalo Hawaiian Homes Association again, and we're using their space, and they're providing their brand new kitchen for us. And then we also do referrals. We participate in the BCCP program, which is, I believe, out of the Department of Health, but it offers free or low-cost screening for mammograms and pap smears. So we participate in that. And then we have a tobacco program now. So we do individual counseling. We're working on getting our group counseling set up, but we also provide the NRTs, which are so hard for our community to come by. So those are some of the things we're working on right now. So in summary, our CBPR partnerships, we wouldn't have been able to do our research without them. They really helped build our research capacity by providing the technical assistance and the community partnerships. It was much easier to go out into the community and knock on doors, having a community member with us. And then also it really helped with our research skills. And the assessment provided a lot of information on the Waimanalo community. And there's not a lot of data on homestead communities, so having this was really helpful. And it'll help inform our future directions. So this is my contact information, and this is just a saying. That's it. I'm done. Any questions?